Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
From Montana to Mahomes, his call has been synonymous with Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's the voice of the Chiefs kingdom, and he joins The Drive every Monday at 4.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Here's Mitch Holtis.
Very excited to be joined by our next guest, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association, Incorporated, and also by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Mitch, happy to have you join us today.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot going on. Kingdom Show tonight, and then I'm at the convention center now. We just finished a rehearsal for Patrick and his 15 and Mahomes gala. So celebrating a 31-0 power washing of the Raiders, and with a couple of events tonight. Big stuff.
All right, a couple of things here, and I promise you we'll get to the game, but I have to ask you this. So last week we were asking all of our guests this question. What is the word that you struggle spelling and you let spell check take care of it? So we asked Patrick this question. He said his word is itinerary. My word is convenience. I do not know how to spell convenience. I just let Steve Jobs and Apple autocorrect take over every single time. What is that word for you that you struggle with?
Gosh, there are several. I'm trying to think what comes to the top of a list here. Pneumonia is one of them, even though I got the P. There's so many. We'll just stick with pneumonia for the time being.
Okay, the other question that I have is, and you're somebody that really has to practice this, has there ever been...
And by the way, I won Mrs. LaRue's spelling bee in Smith Center Elementary School. 1 week I got a blue ribbon because we were full of like 18 honor students in that small school. A dude that's a doctor now, another gal that became like a Rhodes Scholar, but I won it 1 week, baby. I remember that blue ribbon. I won it in overtime. It was great.
Okay. I actually lost our spelling bee. I lost on the word diagonal. That's the one that got me out of there.
That's another one, man. You got to stare at that one a little bit and think. So, yeah, but spell check, especially to get it wrong, or when people are dictating messages. I love my dad. We're going through some issues with him now, but he loves to dictate. But it comes out of like C-dot once, blood, pneumonia, tricycle. Like, what is that? Like, so spell check of a dictated messages isn't exactly foolproof.
The other question I wanted to ask you is, and we were kind of having some fun with Rob Gronkowski. So Rob Gronkowski, he couldn't pronounce Emeka Egbuka. You have to really practice on these pronunciations. I'm wondering if there's a player that's like really giving you a hard time. So for me right now, it is the quarterback of UCLA. He was at Tennessee. You know the story. He then transferred to UCLA. I cannot pronounce his last name to save my life. I've tried. I just can't do it. I just call him Nico I at this point so everybody knows who I'm talking about. Over the years, what name has given you the hardest time where you really had to practice to pronounce their name correctly?
Oh, there's so many of those. You know, there's a proliferation now of players who have, like, from the Pacific Islands, like American Samoa, and Polynesian players, where there's so many vowels that you just kind of try to figure it out. Now, Sua Matias, that's a nasty one. And so you've got to, you know, you've got to sit there and ask. And then the other is the increasing group. I did a minute with Mitch on this. I did a study on it because my daughter and her husband was in Botswana for 2.5 years. Is the increase of first or second generation players from the African continent. And that does present some challenges, especially if it's hyphenated, right? It would be like, I don't know, there's Somatia Palamau, and it's hyphenated. Like you've got like 40 vowels and 13 consonants, and you're trying to figure it out, and you practice it over and over and over. You know, one of the missed ones is Rashi Rice. You just had him on with the promo, and it's not Rashi, and you don't wait on the first syllable like it's Rashi Rice. And so I think it's and that's not, you know, anything to do with Polynesian background or family or from the African continent. So, but Rashi Rice is that's the goofed up every week by several people. So. Anyway, you got to, yeah, but you bring up stuff that is like a nightmare to me. I wake up in the middle of the night with like a whole stadium laughing at me or making fun of me because I butchered somebody's name. And so I work on it, yes. Every week, though, there's a couple of really difficult ones on every team.
So, Mitch, you've been the voice of the Chiefs for a very long time. I think that Sunday is going to go up as just one of the more dominating performances that I can remember at Arrowhead. Like, I'm thinking back to some of the games. I remember I was a kid and there was a game where the Chiefs just dominated San Francisco at home. I remember there was a week in which Brian Waters won Offensive Player of the Week because they just ran the ball against the Falcons basically at will.
2006 49ers, by the way, and it might have been 41-0, and Alex Smith was the 49er quarterback. I think it was 41-0, but it was 2006.
I just think of so many. Yeah, I just think of so many of those games. I think of the game against the Falcons where Brian Waters won Offensive Player of the Week. I think back to, you know, the game against the Bears a couple of years ago where Taylor Swift made her first appearance. Like, there have just been some classic, iconic beatdowns. I mean, you can't dominate a team more than what we saw the Chiefs do on Sunday for 60 minutes against the Raiders.
Not when you have 30 first downs to three. 30 first downs to three. This is like the November Alabama game against, Wofford. And it's in 30 first downs to three where, 35 game minutes, I believe, the Raiders went between first downs. So you get that defensive domination, but then you get offensive domination where it could have been much more, but the Chiefs had drives of 92, 94, and 84 yards for touchdowns. And one was a 17-play drive. You can go years in the NFL and not see that, coupled with 30 first downs to three. I mean, it was, like I say, a power washing. You could say whitewashing, but this thing was you power washing your sidewalk.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. When you think back to that game, Mitch, is there a stat that really stands out to you the most? Because at least for me, to run 30 plays and get 95 yards from scrimmage the way that the Raiders, like, Las Vegas, they had 10 drives. They ran 30 plays. They averaged a three and out every time they touched the ball. That's not realistic to do to a team defensively.
No, and they didn't have Jacoby Myers, who's a good player, and they had Brock Bowers, who's the new Kelsey. So, to be fair, they didn't have all their troops, but they did have Ashton Jeanty and, Trey Tucker. So they had some dudes, Michael Mayer, on the field. Yeah, it was ridiculous. But to have it all – and the fact that Jeanty didn't really ever get going at all was the factor in them just getting completely shut down when the Raiders had the ball. Now, my favorite stat of the game, though – was the fact that 9 players caught passes and 13 players touched the ball. Might have been 14. The only guys that were eligible to touch the ball that did not were Jalen Royals and Robert Tonyan. That's it. Because Nico Remigio got touches on the punt returns. Everybody else touched the ball. And so that, I don't remember seeing that happen necessarily. And the guys that had one catch, you got Tyquan Thornton, who had a 39-yarder, and you had Noah Gray that had a 28-yarder, and that was their one catch. And then you got everybody else. It was interesting. You know Joey Wentz, right, the baseball player?
Yep.
Really good dude, right? Shawnee Mission East, and this year he got into the Atlanta Braves rotation. Super proud of him. He was in their normal rotation. Like, he wasn't just throwing long relief or throwing every 2 weeks. He was the dude. And so I saw him. He goes, they're probably going to ease Rice into it, right? I go, yeah, maybe. I said, I think he's going to get seven touches. He had seven touches and 10 targets, seven catches, no runs, but seven, and the flip pass is like a run. But still, the fact that Rice had seven of them, but you spread out eight other guys. One of the things I talk about tonight with Coach Reed is the geometry of the game and how he can peg now. He's got so many ways to create angles and advantages, especially against zone defenses. When he has this many guys to use, it's almost like playing geometry, 3D geometry with chess. Play 3D chess, but now he has all the pieces. In fact, here's a couple more. Kick a couple knights and rooks and put them in for pawns and see how you do. That's what Coach Reed has right now. That was exciting to me to see so many different guys get touches and be impactful with those touches.
Mitch, you made the comparison comparing Rashee Rice to Deebo Samuel, and that was a cut that we played a lot throughout the course of the week. And then on that first drive, when he gets the first touchdown of the game, that's a play that I've seen San Francisco and the Commanders run for Deebo Samuel for the last seven seasons.
And it ain't even getting started yet. Just stay tuned. The fact that you've got very few guys in the NFL with that blend of speed and power, tackling ability, excellent hands that look like a running back and a receiver all in one. And there's just not many of those guys around. And right now, and Deebo's beaten up. He didn't play against Dallas, probably play against us, I'm guessing. But the point is that just those are unique humans. And maybe one of these days they'll call Deebo Samuel the Rashee Rice, right? That comparison. But coach is just getting started with this. You just saw really the tip of the iceberg for what can happen this year.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is brought to you by GEHA and also Silverstein Eye Center. I'm sure, Mitch, you've heard at this point, their saying is everybody got to eat. I mean, this really goes to show you that in this offense, I just don't really know what you take away. If you try to take away Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy can beat you. If you take Worthy away, then Rice can beat you. If you try to take away their top two guys, they got a Hall of Fame tight end playing right now. Tyquan Thornton can have a big catch. Juju can have a big catch. Like, I'm talking about an offense right now that early in the year, you could see they were really decimated by injuries. But now when they have everybody there, this is probably as deep of an offense that we've seen probably since 2022, since the year Pat last won MVP.
I think better than that. I just think you have so many more weapons and so much more speed. Coach has even said it's the most speed he's ever had. And that's saying something. This is his 27th year as a head coach. So I think it's nothing against the 22 guys, but you just got way more weapons and guys that can make small plays into big ones, either breaking tackles or using their speed. Rashard Smith is example D here, but maybe example A of saying, hey, well, they're better because you have him as a game-breaker type that can take a screen and make it a 20-yard play. Where it's set up, it looks like it's going to be five or six. Now, if I'm an opponent of the Chiefs, we'll see how the Commanders play it, that I think I've got to just get pressure on Pat and throw the timing off. But here's what this group does. This is why tonight, if you listen to Coach, I ask him about the geometry. He's taught me in 13 years so much about the geometry of football and how you set it up. It's very kind of like basketball and football in structure. But so many defenses now, and where they're getting tricky, is not only trying to fool the quarterback at the line of scrimmage, like with a, you know, foxfire or a fire zone kind of play, where like Pat got deked in the Jacksonville game a little bit. All right, that's always kind of been around. What's become new in the NFL are these matchup zones like basketball. I show you zone, but if you enter my area, then I stay with you man. So like the first 10 to 20% of the play, I'm in zone. And some of my teammates may stay in zone. But based on your route and what you run in the next 40 seconds, I'm sorry, the next 40% of the play, I may latch onto you man. So it's designed to confuse the quarterback and the receiver And it's, some of these teams are getting really good at it. All right. What's the answer to that? What the Chiefs are doing. Because if you're sitting there and going to run this matchup zone in certain areas and go zone to man, man to zone, not everybody's going to be doing that. So Pat now has a place to go all over the field using different angles and levels where that person that he's going to could absolutely decimate you on the play. Think about it. Even Juju. Juju's going to, he'll take your lunch money if you're going to do something tricky, and I'm going to take away Rice on this because I showed zone, but now I'm really man, and I'm hugging him on a crosser or a shallow route, and then all of a sudden Juju pops open because somebody else can't do that. Not everybody on the field can do that necessarily in the structure theory of that defense. And so you have countermeasures to pretty much everything if you can protect Pat throughout the day.
Mitch, I'll get you out of here with these last two questions. The first question is, what was it like to get home at a regular time for dinner? That hasn't been a thing for you in a long time.
Oh, my gosh. We're closing up postgame. My portion, I go, it's 2:58. What do we do? Like, that game was fast, too, by the way. I mean, we're kneeling down. We're going to a knee before the two-minute warning. I don't think I've ever seen that because Coach was going to be respectful to Pete Carroll. Date night, right? My lady. It's like, we're going to have a date night. This is what we used to do, like on noon games. And so that was good. So it was, and then you got the rest of the evening. Like Sunday night football, I'm getting ready for the rest of the week. And it's like, okay, let's go. What do I do now? So, yeah, you could get used to those Sunday at noons. It's the opposite of getting home after a road Monday night game and you don't have enough days or hours to get the week completed.
Mitch, I'll get you out of here with this last one. What do you have planned up for Chiefs Kingdom tonight?
Okay, we got Shamari Connor, who's awesome. Now, he's second on this team in tackles. He's also second on special teams tackles. I'm not sure defensively Bolt would have it because Bolt's in charge of the whole thing. But what Spags asked everybody to do, he might argue with this. I'm not sure other than Bolt that – Shamari Connor doesn't have the second most on his plate. And he's asked to actually do more, like in coverage, than Bolt. And so, yeah, Shamari Connor's got a lot going on. And then he wants to play special teams, and he's second in special teams tackles. He actually led the team. I've never seen it where a guy was second on the team in tackles and led the team in special teams tackles. And he got eclipsed by Cooper McDonald yesterday, who's got 7 special team stops. And Shamari's got 6. But Shamari will be on after Coach. But again, if you listen to Coach tonight, I ask him about the geometry of the game and how the fact that he has got more chess pieces to attack that geometry of the game is a big deal.
That is Mitch Holtis joining us on the show today. He is brought to you by GEHA and also Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Mitch, have a great week and great job hosting the 15 of the Mahomies. I'm sure it's going to be a great time.
Oh, it's going to be monumental. The most, one of the greatest moments of the entire year is when he and Brittany have all of the organizations, all kids-centric, on the stage at the same time getting their checks. There's representatives from 33, I believe, organizations, and it is such a moment. It's one of my favorite single moments of the year to see that and those organizations up on that stage. It just tells you everything about Patrick and Brittany. And there's way more to those people than what you even know. And their hearts are so good. It's a great night.
Absolutely. That is Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. Thanks, Mitch.
All right. See you, C-Doc.
Absolutely. That is Mitch Holtis joining us on the show today. This just popped in my head really quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. It just was a random thought that I had. Rob, I was thinking back to last year when the Chiefs, I thought, kind of sleptwalked through some games or potentially got kind of fortunate to win some games. And you remember a lot of times it would be, you'd be kind of unhappy with the way that they played, but they won. So it felt like you really couldn't say anything. And it would kind of be this friction of, this isn't the BCS. We don't care about style points. We just want to win. Now, I understand that every win can't be like what they just had against the Raiders, but we've seen enough championship-level football that you know what it should look like and what it should feel like. That's what they're doing right now. Hey, offensively, that team shouldn't be able to stop you, so go execute it. That's what they did. hey, the Raiders can't stop anything that you want to do offensively. So whomever you want to highlight, if you want to get Rashee Rice into it, if you want to get Kelce into it, if you want to ease Breshard Smith into it, whatever you want to do offensively, you should be able to do it. Defensively, who are they beating you with? Who in the passing game are you worried about right now when it comes to the Las Vegas Raiders? Trey Tucker? Who are you worried about? Jacoby Myers? They have one offensive player that you like. It's Ashton Jensen. They have one that currently played in the game. So again, I'm not saying that every time the Chiefs play one of these teams, it needs to be a blowout and you need to dominate them. But I feel like when we sit through games and when the Chiefs play a C-minus game and we point out, like, I mean, they didn't really play that well. Oh, what are you guys talking about? This is what it should be. When you play a bottom five team in the league, you should look like the best team in the league. They should look like the bottom team in the league. We shouldn't be in the fourth quarter stressing on the edge of your seat because they've played poorly against the Carolina Panthers. They should do what they did. We're even joking about it, them playing around with their food. They were playing around their food from a position of up 21 to nothing. They were doing it. First three drives of the game. I don't care where you start on the field. You can't stop us. So if we start on the 15, the 5, the 27, we're going to put a drive together. We're going to score a touchdown. We also don't think you can do anything. We're going to hit your quarterback. We're going to take your run game out and make you one-dimensional. You don't have any wide receivers that can beat us. You're not a good football team. This is what championship efforts look like. So we were pointing out in the past, hey, man, Buffalo would have blown that team out. Buffalo would have beat the Raiders the way the Chiefs just beat the Raiders. You need a couple of those pelts on the wall sometimes. Sometimes it just feels good. Sometimes, what did Kendrick say? Sometimes you got to pop out and show people. We the best team in the league. And that's not last second field goals against Carolina and eking games out against the Raiders last year. No, it's pummeling them. You're bad. I want to show you that you're bad. And that's what they did. They went out there for 60 minutes. I mean, really 30 minutes. And just showed you that, no, it's not close between us. And we're not giving you any hope, any belief that you have any chance of winning this game. Because you don't have any chance to win this game. They strangled the life out of them. They got 95 yards. 95 on 30 plays. They didn't even accidentally have a big play. You know, sometimes you just get a broken play late in the game. Kind of like what happened in the Ravens game. Remember Justice Hill got that long run in the fourth quarter? Sometimes you get one of those. They'd even get an accidental play. I would love to go back on ESPN research and find out the time that a team went into QB kneel before the two-minute warning. This was a victory lap for 15 minutes. The Chiefs didn't throw a pass on their final three drives of the game. It is impossible to dominate a team more than they dominated the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, just absolute belt to backside for 30 minutes. Just bad. Just real, real bad. If you're the Raiders, you really got to do some soul searching. That's what you got to do. You got to really do some soul searching and figure out what's going on right now. I don't know what the Raiders' schedule is. I don't know if they got a bye week. I don't know. But they need to do something because that was not a performance worthy of an NFL team. If everybody is making the same analogy, we all ain't that creative. It felt like a week one major power school playing a mid-major is how that felt. It felt like Missouri playing Middle Tennessee State. That's what it felt like. It felt like Alabama going up against Samford. That's what it felt like for the first 30 minutes of that game. Just an absolute drubbing they gave the Las Vegas Raiders. Coming up on the other side, we will get to the AFC West race. The odds have certainly shifted. We'll tell you what they are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob, can you help me with something? And we'll get back to the NFL in just a bit. What's the controversy with these tortillas? So this is what I believe that it is. And tell me if I'm wrong. But I try to stay out of KU business. KU lost to Texas Tech, and the students at Texas Tech throw the tortillas on the field. Lance said that somebody threw a pocket knife on the field. We then found out that that was not true and no one threw a pocket knife on the field. Now, Texas Tech, to my understanding, they are reevaluating this tradition. And today they have come out and outright just simply banned the tradition of throwing the tortillas on the field.
The stakes are too high and we need to help, not risk penalizing our team again for throwing tortillas. Simply, let's not do it. The situation is on me. I leaned into this of throwing tortillas at the beginning of the football season. Now I must ask everyone to stop, and I must ask our staff to enforce it on game days.
Okay. Am I off? Did I miss something? When did this tradition start? Has this always been a thing? Were they throwing tortillas back in the day of Graham Harrell and Michael Crabtree? Why are they throwing tortillas on the field? I obviously have missed some part of this story. What's happening here?
I'm as confused as you. So, to my understanding, they did this at the opening kick. This has always been their opening kickoff tradition. Now it has evolved, and they started doing it after every kickoff, which opponents not a fan of. The Big 12 at the beginning of the season instituted a rule that we now, after the first one, will start warning and penalizing you if objects fly on the field. The AD, who you just heard there, Corby Holdcutt, at the beginning of the season, came out against the rule and said, keep throwing the tortillas. Now, you're right, the KU situation, the pocket knife thing, all weird and apparently wrong. But KU has put up enough of a stink that they are now under the eye of the Big 12, and if they get multiple penalties for this, it could affect games. So the AD is now saying, no more tortillas.
Okay. All right. I mean, on one side, I want to just let the college kids be college kids, and I wish I could say that we shouldn't have a tradition of where you throw objects onto the field, but they throw an octopus onto the ice in hockey. They throw a hat onto the field also in hockey, so this is a tradition in other things. Just seems all very silly. I'll try to stay out of KU football business and also out of Big 12 business. They ain't got nothing to do with me. I would just let the college kids live their life. It seems like everybody was happy with it. Only one person this season has really had an issue with it.
Well, to be fair, other coaches have complained about it.
Who else has been complaining about it?
It was like one of their FCS programs.
Oh, well,
was
they were
like,
probably just getting thumped.
Yeah, that's correct.
They were just getting thumped.
And the fact that
so they were getting all kind of soft-shell tacos thrown at them.
The fact that the Big 12 had instituted a rule about when we start enforcing it will be after the first warning gives you an idea of this is a thing that happened last year that coaches also didn't like.
Okay, all right, I'm just asking.
And to answer your question, I have no idea when this started.
Yeah, I don't know when this happened either.
I watched that Michael Crabtree, Graham Harrell game against Texas.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
I don't remember any tortillas on the field at any point. I remember the fans on the field. I do not remember tortillas on the field.
So if you want to take a look right now at the Vegas odds to win the division, the time to jump on the Kansas City wagon is over. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I said this, and I pat myself on the back. I said, if you believe that Kansas City is going to win the AFC West, you need to bet on them now. You will never get a better number than where they currently were. They were at plus 260. They are now at minus 115. all of the value is gone. The Broncos are now at plus 250, and the Chargers are now at plus 330 to win the division. So the public and Vegas is now firmly on the side of Kansas City winning this division in the AFC West. Now, it is certainly not going to be easy. The Broncos are 5-2. The Chargers are 4-3 and look more and more like the Chargers every time I see them. And the Chiefs currently sit right now at 4-3. Now, I know you guys will call me Broncos Dot or something. I don't know. It's hard to keep up with all the different nicknames that you give me. But I am telling you, the Broncos are not going away anytime soon. You are going to have to really fight to win this division. Their two losses are on the road against Indianapolis, a game in which they should have won, on the road against the Chargers, a game in which the Chargers kicked a last-second field goal. This Broncos team, maybe you're a believer, maybe you're not a believer, but the way their schedule is going to line up, I think we're talking about a team that's going to be potentially 8-2 or 7-3 when they host Kansas City coming up in exactly a month from now. So they got a home game against Dallas. That's one of the better games this weekend in the National Football League. They go on the road and play Houston. I don't know what to make of Houston. I don't think they're very good. They have a home game against the Raiders. I certainly don't think the Raiders are any good. And then you get 10 days to prepare for your matchup at home against Kansas City. The Chiefs are not really used to being in a slugfest when it comes to winning their division. They won their division last year by, what, four games they won last year? I just don't think that's going to be the case this year. Now, I'm not saying Denver's going to win the division. I'm saying is they still got some very, very important games left, and both games against the Broncos are going to be hyper important for who's going to win the division. The game that they have in December coming up against the Chargers is also going to be a very important game. You now got to mark all of those games as must wins if you're talking about hosting the AFC Championship game and hosting a playoff game because you won your division.
I do think the betting markets tell us one thing, though, and I agree with you. I don't know the Broncos are going anywhere. I don't think they're as good as the Chiefs, but I think they're going to be in a race to the Chiefs all year. But the betting markets would have you think this: the Chiefs are already surpassing the Broncos because basically up until 6 o'clock last night of real time, it looked like the Chiefs were back in the driver's seat of the AFC West. It looked like they were about to reassert themselves as number one both in the betting markets and when you open whatever app you use, NFL.com, ESPN, whatever have you. It looked like they were about to be one period and period. And then the Giants just, Brian Daboll was begging to be fired. But that all happened. But the betting markets have not adjusted to the fact that the Broncos won. They said, uh-oh, the Broncos don't look as good as the Chiefs. The Chiefs are at full strength. And I also think it's of note, to your point about the Broncos not going anywhere, the Chiefs will play their first matchup with the Broncos after a bye, which we know how Andy Reid is after a bye. So
I kind of feel like the Chiefs and the Broncos are in that same context, and I'm not disputing what you're saying, but the Broncos have 10 days before that matchup because they play on Thursday Night Football and then the following Sunday, and then the Chiefs have their actual bye. So in terms of rest, positioning yourself, I feel like both teams are largely in the same spot when it comes to that.
I just feel like given all those advantages we know about the Chiefs, and you're right, it's 10 versus 14 days or whatever have you, but it's still an advantage for the Chiefs. It feels like this division is back in Kansas City's hands. I'm not saying I'm confident enough to print up, was it 10, 11 straight? What, however many AFC West titles they've won.
10, it'd be 10.
It'd be 10. I'm not confident enough to head over to Rally House and buy that yet, but in about 2 weeks, you can start putting that on ice for Christmas gifts because it feels like the Chiefs are going to win another division, which the fact that it's 10, and I had lost track of that, is actually a massive accomplishment in the NFL, but I think the betting market showed that we already knew. The Chiefs have become the cream of the crop again in the AFC West.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, the Broncos haven't played a good team yet. I would actually disagree. They've played Indianapolis on the road. They played the Chargers on the road. They also played Philadelphia on the road, and they won the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Broncos have kind of proven themselves. Again, I'm not here telling you that I think they're going to win the division. I'm just simply pointing out I'm looking at the division right now. I don't really think there's much to worry about when it comes to the Chargers. The Chargers have done that thing that they do every single year. They got off to a hot start. They've now lost three of their last four games. They should have lost to the Dolphins. They needed a last-second field goal against the Dolphins, a team that has all but given up on life at this point when it comes to them. The Dolphins are done, cooked. And the Chargers just do more Chargers things. If anything, we might need to start paying attention to the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts just, they continue to keep winning. Doubt the Colts if you want to. And I'm still a little bit of a non-believer when it comes to them, too. I think we're talking about a Colts team that's going to end up winning like 12 or 13 games. and is needs to be very, very seriously considered right now to be the one seed, at least in the conversation for the one seed in the AFC. Like, they are very much in the conversation on being one of those kind of teams. You know what? Let me look that up. I'm actually very curious to see what the one seed odds are for the Colts at the end of the season on what Vegas thinks. I'm actually very curious about what Kansas City and Buffalo's are as well. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. We'll also continue to talk about this beatdown the Chiefs put on the Raiders. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
You know what I realized? I realized how I like for you guys to be. I feel like you guys are officially back. We were just talking about the AFC and the AFC West, and I just made the observation that the Broncos are not going anywhere. Now, I think Kansas City is going to win the division. I've never wavered on Kansas City winning this division. I never panicked. I've never pulled the ripcord when it comes to the team. My stance on the Chiefs is well documented. Every day I'm here. I've never wavered on the Chiefs. But I like when you guys got a little bit of an arrogance to you. Rob, are you reading the text line? The text line is back, baby. There ain't no other good team in the AFC. Nobody has any other good wins in the AFC. Nobody's played anybody. That's how I like you guys. For a while there, it was real shaky in September. Your confidence was shaking. You had a little bit of a tremble in your voice. I'm happy that you guys are back. We don't believe in the Bills. We don't believe in the Broncos. We don't believe in the Colts. The Chargers do the same thing. We're back. I like that when you guys are like this. That's how I used to like my KU fan. Y'all look different now, man. I'm not used to KU being picked to finish 7th in the Big 12. That ain't the KU that I'm used to. That's how you guys used to talk about everybody else. We don't believe in Iowa State or Baylor or none of these other teams. Houston came along. We switched the Big 12 up a little bit. Arizona came along, and what's happened? I got to get my old KU basketball back. I'm happy the Chiefs fans are back. It was looking real spooky for y'all at the beginning of October. Y'all wasn't talking like this a couple of weeks ago. Y'all was ready to fire everybody. Offensive coordinator had to be fired. Spags was looking shaky in the light. Y'all was mad at 1587 Prime, leaving bad Yelp reviews. It was looking real scary out there. So I'm happy. I'm happy the order has been restored in Kansas City, and y'all got your swagger back. You can pull out that nice Frank Lucas coat, and you can sit ringside at the fight again. I'm happy that everybody is back to normal, Rob. When is everything going to be back to normal in your world? Because you're not used to preseason number 18. What's going on?
Well, media day is on Wednesday, so I would just make a note for all your listeners in your phone. Look for a Darren Peterson update on Wednesday.
Okay, all right. I'll be here.
I've sent Drew a list of questions, things like, do you think you're better than Kobe? Because I think you're better than Kobe.
Okay, here we go.
But I would expect us to be back by about Thursday. Yeah, I think Bill Self's going to talk at Media Day. We're going to find out we know none of the players and the other on their teams in the conference, and we're going to be back. If not then, they'll go to Chapel Hill. Darren Peterson will play well against Carolina, a Carolina team that was a bubble team last year, and then we'll be back. That, much like the Chiefs needed the Ravens to get right, because we're after the Ravens game. Texan looked like this too, and they needed the Raiders, who also stink. Let KU do that, and we'll be back. We'll be full go.
I wish I could have saved those texts after that Jacksonville game, because y'all was struggling a couple of Mondays ago. Struggling. That's why I'm happy. Everybody is back. All right, let me ask you a couple of things now. I have a couple of KU basketball questions that I want to get to. Number one, you guys booed a former Kansas player during late night at the Fog. Hold on. This is a KU fan event. These boos didn't come from outside the house.
By the way, it was a highlight package. It wasn't like he was there. It was highlights. Boo!
Why do y'all hate Hunter Dickinson so much? Hunter Dickinson averaged 18-8 for y'all. Helped guide you to the NCAA tournament. Why do you blame everything that's gone wrong on Kansas basketball for the last 2 years on Hunter Dickinson, a proud Jayhawk? His name should really be up there in the rafters as a guy who made first team all Big 12 a couple of years. Wilt Chamberlain, Paul Pierce, Hunter Dickinson. What's the issue between KU fans and Hunter?
I mean, if you want the honest answer, A, it was the two tournament losses and they pretty quickly blame him. Two, I think KU fans hadn't adjusted yet to the new era. We now live in an era where college athletes get paid. We know the number, and that's fine. They found out Hunter Dickinson's number, and then they weren't doing all the winning they were used to, and now it's Hunter Dickinson's fault. You know how K-State fans turned on Coleman Hawkins last year? It's the same. It was the exact same.
I don't know if they would boo him if they showed him on the screen. They booed him. That makes me worry, can Hunter Dickinson even come back? Because we know this happens at KU games around the All-Star break.
Yeah, that February
guys
game.
Guys will come back. Can Hunter Dickinson come, and can he stand up and do the Pollard wave? Can he do that? The Scott Pollard wave at everybody? Can he do that and get a standing ovation? I don't know if he can come back.
I don't think he can come back right now. Maybe time heals all wounds, but he can't come back.
When can Hunter come back?
I don't know. I'm curious what happens if Harris comes back.
He's getting cheered.
People didn't like him at the end either.
You think if DeJuan Harris came back to school.
I don't know if he gets booed. I don't know if he gets a roar, though.
He's part of a team that won a championship.
He gets a golf clap.
You think they're golf clapping DeJuan Harris? Y'all hate last year's team.
Last year's team did not
hate that team.
No KU fan walked away from last year's team and was like, you know what? A lot of great players on that team just didn't work out. It was just pure unadult. Do you know how often I text Drew about my hate for AJ's store? It's like daily. I tell him every day I hate that guy.
I'm just asking. I'm reading the text line right now. A lot of hate. I thought Hunter Dickinson did a great job. I really did. I'm genuinely proud of the effort that he put together. Borderline All-American for you guys. I don't know why you guys hate on Hunter Dickinson so much. A guy that gave so much for that program. A guy who accomplished so much while he was there. A guy who's really having a great pro career. In his last game with the Pelicans, played 23 minutes, had 12 points, 5 rebounds.
Hold on. You know KNC's not an NBA market. Don't play fun with semantics there. That last game that he played was preseason. Who else on the floor when he was on the floor?
I don't know.
He wasn't hooping next to Zion.
You know what
you
might
that.
Do? Whenever you do a Darren Peterson update, we might have to do a Hunter Dickinson update as well. Just where are they now? Jayhawks edition. Now, I have another question. This is another Jayhawk-related question. Right now, if we do a power ranking of people born in the state of Kansas, where is Christian Brown on that list? Because Christian Brown just signed a 5-year, $125 million deal to continue playing for the Denver Nuggets. And this is no shade at all. Christian Brown has turned into a very, very productive NBA player. Now, it's not that surprising to me that very good high school player turned into very good college player that turned into very good NBA player. Somehow, it's like it shocks other people that Christian Brown has turned into a very good NBA player, but he has found a great team, a great organization. He plays his role. He can do a little bit of everything. He can defend. He can knock down shots. He can score. He's got bounce. He's athletic. I like Christian Brown for the most part. I mean, as much as I can like somebody that went to the University of Kansas and openly hates on Mizzou, I can only like him so much.
I was about to say, no one liked beating Mizzou more than he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't like him so much. There's definitely a cap at how much I can like him. Where would you put him right now on the list? He's got to be high up on the list. He's got to be right now on the short list of people to turn on the Plaza lights. He's got to be on the short list.
He probably is on the short list. I'm trying to think of like,
he just hit him for 5 for 125.
He's to KU what Darren Sproles was to K-State.
Nah, y'all don't love Christian Brown the way the K-State people love Darren Sproles.
Well, that's because K-State loves their own more than anyone loves anything.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But it's that, hey, you're a Kansas kid.
Oh, for,
you
went to I'm Kansas with, school, I mean, I understand what you're saying is, but you could agree. The love that they have for Darren Sproles is a little bit different.
They are
a little bit different.
They love all their guys that much. K-State fans still wax poetically out Jake Waters. Like, I mean, K-State fans are a different breed.
And I think it's just different because they just had fewer great athletes than you guys have had. Like, Sproles is on their Mount Rushmore. I don't think anybody's putting Christian Brown on the KU basketball Mount Rushmore. And he had a phenomenal career, which just goes to show you how many great basketball players they've had in such a short period and long period of time that he's not anywhere close to it. Where Darren Sproles, he might be the best athlete that's ever come out of that university. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Chiefs who put the beat down on the Raiders. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.